morning. Welcome to another edition of She Persisted here on the Progressive Voices Network. My name is Melissa Carter. How are you? Happy Memorial Day. This is a day where we, of course, honor those who have served our country and didn't make it. So thank you so much for your family members and anybody who's in active duty, because, you know, a lot of times when we talk about these holidays, a lot of people kind of mix up what Veterans Day is about, what Memorial Day is about. You know, this is the somber day, talking about those who did not make it. But I think it's a very sensitive day for those who have people who are actively serving now, because it's, you know, you realize the sacrifice and the potential that could happen to your family members. So, you know, a shout out to you as well. And so, I am okay right now. So I'm going to start a conversation that is surreal, painful, but yet part of it. But Millie Pete had to be put in hospice last week. And so I think that we are very close. And it's, you know, like I said, I'm okay now. And what I wanted to discuss is less about her, because that's something that I'm internally processing, having to let her go. You know, I think that, gosh, there's so much that's flooding my mind. Where do I even begin? So Millie Pete will actually be 91 years old tomorrow, if she makes it to tomorrow. I mean, we are at the point where, you know, I could get a phone call at any time. And obviously she is one of the closest people in my life, and I've been very fortunate to be her daughter, and I'm a better person because I was her daughter. But I want to talk about the process, because I think I'll make it through the conversation if I talk about the process rather than her herself. Because like I said, you know, and I've given this advice to other people. I lost my father in my 30s. And so I've been through a parent death, but I haven't been through my mom death. And that, I think, for a lot of us is much harder than anything we can face. I think besides a child, which I hope I never face. But it's the advice I've given people before is you got to give yourself a year. And so I'm kind of telling myself the same thing I tell other people, because in that year, all these things will pop up, you know, holidays will pop up and birthdays will pop up and different things you think about and different shows that come on TV that you might've watched with them and, you know, just random things. And I've always been the person who death is not something that is a topic that I turn away from. But I think that that's intensified the older I've gotten, because, you know, I'm 50 now, and I look, you know, the next 50 years, I don't think I'll make 50 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I'll be one to make it to 100. So I'm in the latter state, you know, the latter part of life. Right. And I think that that intensifies it for you, where I still don't turn away from it. But I think this is a huge reflective, I don't know, it's probably, like I said, you know, hoping Mr. Carter outlives me, this will be the last huge, hardest thing that I'm going to be going through. And it's a process that really started over the holidays, because I told you that my mother was in the hospital over the holidays. And this has nothing to do with the virus, by the way. So she's not suffering from COVID. So I think that, you know, I told my sister, because I wrote her obituary, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I told my sister, I said, you have to include it, because my sister's the one that's handling the business of it, since she's there in town with her. And I said, you've got to include natural causes in this, because if you don't, then people are going to assume it's the virus. And that's for anybody who has someone who passes. Like, you know, people are just assuming, especially if you're a certain age. And so if you are going through the same thing or will be going through the same thing, just, you know, you may think it's a private matter, but I'm just telling you, if you omit the cause of death, then people are going to assume it's COVID. But this has nothing to do with that. It's just natural causes. It's just old age. And she stopped, her body naturally stopped taking nutrition last week. And that's why the decision was made. But she started declining over the holidays, and falls and injuries from falls is really the culprit, and just her body just deciding, I can't recover from this. And also I think that we all have somewhat of a subconscious or spiritual hand in it as well. I take peace in knowing that she's, you know, she made the decision already, that she was ready to go before this process started. And that's the other thing I'm reflecting on is, you know, we watch television. And this, again, is if you have the privilege of having someone of old age, not to be insensitive to those who have lost people in accidents or sudden, you know, heart attacks or strokes or anything that was sudden. Certainly don't want to be insensitive to that. But I think that a lot of people, when they watch death on television, when it's displayed, it's usually a quick exit. It's usually a short process where people barely have time to come and see. But if you have certain diseases and you have just old age and your body naturally giving up, it's a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. So, you know, there's a part of me that thinks that, you know, she's already started the process, again, on a spiritual level, whatever, you know, I don't claim to know what happens. And I think people, none of us know what happens. I mean, in all honesty, none of us know what happens. I think that we have beliefs based on things that make us feel more content and make us feel safer. And I don't think there's a problem with that. And, you know, I think for me, I can't help but think that there's a part of us that on the spiritual level that starts the exit before the body can catch up. And I think that's what's happening. So, it's been a tough week since we last talked. I mean, you know, it goes back to what I said about you have to give yourself a break on anything, but you definitely have to give yourself a break on stuff like this. And like I said, you know, my advice to people in the past, which is what I'm telling myself and giving myself, is you gotta give yourself a year. And you got to let whatever comes up. And that's what's been the past week. It's like I have, you know, at 50 and having been through this with my father, the understanding that, you know, I could be sitting on the couch feeling just fine. And then all of a sudden, this surge of nostalgia and this just weeping comes over me. And instead of panicking or trying to resist it or trying to fight it, I just let it happen, because obviously something is coming up that I need to deal with. And usually what happens in the past week, what has been, is a song. Like I've been exercising. Okay, here's another thing. So when this process started, I had the need to get up and walk and just go outside and walk. And so that's what I've been doing, is putting headphones on. I wake up in the morning, I just go walk. And Mr. Carter's been with Katie. And so she's allowed me time to be kind of solo and solemn. And we haven't really told Mr. Carter why, but we found another reason to explain why he's at her house for so many nights. And he's accepted the, you know, reason that we've given him. And he feels like he's helping out with her in doing so. So that's good. And I've been able just to be by myself. And I think that it's been healing for me to be by myself before the event. And then as you know, whenever this happens, then I will, I'm sure, you know, I'm ready for whatever happens. Like, will I be at more peace or will I be more conflicted? Will, you know, I don't know. Fortunately, my siblings and I are getting along right now with everything. Like I said, we're trying to be proactive. Our father was very proactive, so we already have things in order. And I will tell you, you know, because of the pandemic, so here's an interesting conversation we had to have that you never think you have to have. So she is originally from Kentucky, and that is where her final resting place will be. And my sister's like, you know, and my sister's the oldest, and she has the more aggressive personality. So my brother and I just kind of, you know, let her be in charge, because she does a good job in situations like this. And so we have just allowed her to be in charge. And so she said, I don't feel comfortable having a service or having anything, number one, because of safety, but also because Melissa can't come because of my transplant. And most of mom's relatives are older and in dangerous age. And so my sister's like, you know, if we take her up there, or if I take her up there, or her and my brother, she said, I feel like I'm sneaking. Like, I feel like I'm going in there, we're burying her, and then we're coming home and nothing happened. And so, again, mom won't be too happy, but we decided to cremate her and then wait until whenever, you know, there's no rush, whenever it's safe for everybody to gather and to celebrate her life and to be, you know, graveside, then that's what we're going to do. Now, all three of us did not have, we didn't agree on it because we knew it wasn't her wishes to be cremated. Some were much more conservative about the ideas than others. I don't think that the remains are as important as people make them to be. I think once the person who you loved and had the connection with and the energy with is gone, the remains to me are not sacred as they are to other people. Again, I don't disrespect, if you have different opinion, then it's certainly welcome. That's just how I feel. And, you know, like I said, I had, you know, my siblings were a little more conservative than that, but my sister's like, you know, she shared her wishes with us when we didn't have a pandemic, and there's no way in the world she could have ever predicted that we'd be in this situation, because I truly think that my mother has not understood what's going on since it happened, which I think is, you know, a good place to be. I told my sister that, you know, if she's a little confused about life, then that's good. And, so that's the decision we made. And so when the time comes, that's what's going to happen. And we'll just wait until we can all gather in peace and in safety and not have to worry about it. And then we can do a proper service. So yeah, nothing's going to happen when the time comes that anyone can be involved in. And I'll let you know, because there is a request I have for when the time comes and to celebrate her, but, I'm going to reserve that for when the time comes. So yeah, it's funny how, when people ask, am I okay, of the small group of people that I've shared this with, I'm okay. Even when I, again, have my weepy moments, I'm still okay, because it is a part of it. It's a part of it. I have nothing to complain about. I have nothing to, there's nothing left unsaid with my mother. We were very close. And I don't know, like it's, you're okay, but it's weird. Like you talk, you know, even talking about it now, it just seems unnatural. And the same with my father. Like my father passed away in 2001, and it still doesn't feel like I can't sense him or call him or see him. You know, it's just, I think that whoever raised you, whether it's your parents or somebody else, that your first introduction to this life and your first structure, your first stability, if you were privileged enough to have a stable life when you were young, it just seems like it's always there. Like I can't imagine the foundation being gone. I can't imagine being an orphan, you know, but that's how life works. And that's what Millie Pete would be the first to tell me. He's like, that's how it works. Like, you know, she always felt like the natural way is the parents go before the kids. And I know she always felt tremendous sympathy and empathy for mothers who lost their children, because her feeling was that was the unnatural thing, not you losing someone older than you. So, you know, her wisdom is still in my head about how to handle it. It's odd that she's the one helping me handle the situation. And, but again, I'm okay. And I, you know, anybody who's gone through this, going through this, going to go through this, if it's on the horizon for you, you know, another thing that I've told, you know, friends is, you know, it's one of those things that you don't want to think about. And it's a fear, like it's been a fear of mine, a childhood fear, like you don't want to lose your mother. And that's the part of me that's the hardest part is just understanding that the little girl in me has to accept this. The older woman in me understands from a logical standpoint. It's that little girl in me that's having to struggle with this. But I told a friend, I said, you know, it's my turn. Like, this is something that nobody ever wants to go through. And, you know, again, if you're closer to with your father, or like I said, whoever raised you that you may not even be related to, you know, it's that person in your life. And I said, it's just my turn, because nobody wants to face it. Nobody. And usually when somebody else tells you, like in this case, I know there's somebody out there that, as I'm telling you that I'm facing this week, potentially this week, more than likely this week, the first thought in your mind is like, oh, you know, like, thank God it's not me. I mean, even though that may sound rude, but that's a natural reaction. Like, oh my God, I can't imagine what that's like. And it's okay for you not to imagine what that's like. But, and I've had that same reaction. And now here I am. So like I said, it's my turn. Like it's just, that's how you get through it. It's just your fucking turn. Like you just gotta let it stick all over you and you just gotta go through it. But I think the most important thing is not to avoid it and not try to fight against it. And that's what you struggle with when you're weeping. You know, when you're, I've actually slept well, which is surprising. I've slept well. But it's the daytime. It's the, in the mornings, I'm usually pretty good. And one of the reasons that I've been, you know, compelled to get up and walk, like I just have followed that instinct. So it's one, I should do that. And we all should do that day to day, regardless of what we're going through. But for some reason in situations that are hard, that I tend to follow what my body's telling me. And so the day that the decision was made, the next morning I got up and I'm like, I just got to walk. I don't know where I'm walking. You know, I walked around the neighborhood, but I'm like, I don't know how far I'm going to walk. I don't know. I'm just going to walk. Put the headphones on, walked. And like I said, some songs are like getting me down the road. I'm feeling good because I'm a morning person. So being up first thing in the morning is invigorating for me. It's the perfect time for me to do anything that is, you know, it requires any kind of energy, but then there'll be a song that'll play. And it doesn't even have to be a sentimental song. Let's see, what got me the other day? So I've been up and I just walked. And like I said, since I don't have Mr. Carter, it's like I don't even eat breakfast. I don't even feed the animals. I just tell them I'm going for a walk. I'll be right back. And it's only about 30 minutes. Like I'm not gone for long, but it's enough to where I feel that my body needs it so that when those moments of weep come, that I can handle it instead of it being pent up. I don't want to, you know, with my father, I was ill and that was when I was on dialysis or right before dialysis and I was not doing well. And his death without me understanding it caused me to get worse very fast because I was dehydrated because I wasn't taking care of myself, well, you know, with worry and, and crying. And so I've also tried to make sure that, you know what, I'm listening to my body because my body's, you know, trying to take care of itself through all this. It's almost like my body understands my mind is going through something. My heart's going through something. So I'm able to do it. I'm doing it. I'm getting up. I'm walking. But I'm trying to think of the song because what's funny is the things that make you cry are not the things that are directly connected to anything. Like it wasn't a song about mother. It wasn't a song about death. It wasn't a song about, it was, like, I think it was a Talking Heads song. Like, it was not anything but something in the lyrics, something in the melody, something. Just all of a sudden, I felt it. And I was like, oh, here we go. But fortunately, like, last week, some of the mornings were a little crisp after we had some rain. So I had, like, a jacket with a hood on. I just put the hood on and I just said, you know, I'm going to cry. I mean, if people say, whatever, I got to let it out. I'm not going to stop the tears. And so that's, you know, the best piece of advice I can give you and I'm giving myself now is let it happen. Whatever it is, you got to let it happen. And you can't be, how do I describe it? If you avoid it, you're only prolonging it. This idea that you're not strong enough to handle it is bullshit. Because we talk about that every week. You're strong enough to handle anything, but you've got to believe in yourself. And in the moments that I feel like that 7-year-old who's clasping onto my mother, begging her not to leave. I mean, that's how it feels, like this desperate feeling of, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. You know, when those moments pass over me, it's the adult in me that's like, you can and you have to because it's your turn. It's you know, you're 50 years old. I mean, there are plenty of kids who did not get the privilege of having their mothers or fathers or again, the people that raised them until they're 50. Like, you know, logically, it's like there is no reason to be upset at all or be, I mean, all I am is grateful. So there is a huge part of me that's just grateful for the opportunity to be so lucky to have somebody that I'll miss so much. But then again, there's that part of you, the hurt part of you that feels very childlike and very confused and very and scared. I mean, just scared to be on your own. And that's, you know, and that's the weird part is, I mean, I've had a career, I'm a mother, and, you know, I've done all these adult things. And it's just weird to, and I've lived away from my mother for 30 years. So like I've lived in a completely different city for 30 years for Millie Pete. But somehow this incident is just making me feel like I'm alone. And it's, and that's the part of me that I'm trying to focus on instead of shaking it off. Like I'm trying to focus on, you know, what, where's this coming from and what is it about? You know, what is it about? What about my mother protecting me? You know, what is that about? What was I so afraid of that I feel like I can't face it without my mother? And so I think that that helps to do a self-analysis. And if you need therapy, I mean, I absolutely plan to go into therapy after this just to help out. But it's, you know, I just really think for women, we really have to face things better about ourselves. And it doesn't have to be this traumatic, but it's just anything that comes up for us. Because I do think fear is such a part of our makeup. That I don't know if we've placed it upon ourselves or we've accepted it from other people. And maybe men have the same experience, but all I know is that women seem to be afraid of things a lot. And, you know, I've just made a vow that I just got to face these things down. If I'm afraid of it, then I got to look at it because it's like the monster under the bed. Like if you actually turn the lights on and look under the bed when you're a kid, nothing was there. For me, it was in the closet. The closet was the scary place that I would call my mom to help me with. And then she would turn on the light and there's nothing in the closet. And so the same with any fear you have, the same with my fear of being without Millie Pete. It's a vapor. It's not real, but it feels real. And it makes you cry and it makes me cry and it, you know, makes me like, you know, and it's fascinating too, because like, yeah, I'd be in the bathroom, be washing my hands and I start singing a song like that I just heard thinking, oh, I'm good. And then I'm telling you, I did that. I was like humming a song to myself. And for some reason I looked in the mirror and my eyes just went red and I was like, oh my God, here it comes, here it comes. And it's just like that, right? If you've been through this, it's just like that. And if you haven't been through it, it's okay because it'll be just like that and you'll get through it and it's scary and you're looking at me like better you than me because I couldn't handle it, but guess what? You can, and so can I. But I just wanted to share the feelings I'm having because as put together as we like to think we are, which I think we are for the most part. But, you know, fear is, you know, and again, it may not be the little kid inside of me. It may just be fear that I'm imagining as the frayed little kid who's looking in the closet. But it is something that we should learn to wrangle, maybe, or at least face. Maybe just face, because you'll find that it's not as powerful if you face it. And, you know, I think for women, we have been taught that other people will protect us, that we feel safe because, you know, and it's usually a man, you know, that our husbands will protect us. I know women who, you know, when their husbands go out of town for business, they go to a friend's house because they don't want to be in the house by themselves. And I just don't think that's a healthy way to be. I think that you have to learn to be in your house by yourself. And I think you have to understand that your entire safety is not, it should not be, you know, you shouldn't rely on other people for it. And life will continuously put you in situations where you have to face it. And I do think purging the negativity that you feel is the best thing you can do for yourself. But in order to purge it, you got to go through it. You got to get through the muck. It's like Shawshank. You got to get through the muck to get on the other side. And you have to be willing to say, okay, now's the time I'm going to do it. And that's what I've done since the holidays, that I just knew, I had a sense, and again, I only told a few people, but I had a sense that we were on our way out with Mom. And the mourning process really began a few months ago, that I just was trying to accept the fact that she was leaving. And here we are. Like, it's even though I tried to start that process, it was when the decision was made last week. It was just, it was weird because it's like, oh, here we are. Like, it, and the doctors were the ones that, you know, said, you know, that, that we're here. And it was just weird. You know, it was all three of us were like, okay, we're here, even though we knew it. And again, she's in her 90s, but it's still, really? Are we doing this? And for my sister, she's the personality that, again, being in charge helps her. And so, like I said, you know, it's not just about her personality and her being the oldest. And, you know, I tease about oldest kids, but it really, and I'm sure for all oldest kids, but it helps her to feel like she's doing something and having a job and being in charge and making sure things are getting done. And she's going to have, you know, a very hard time when this is done, when she doesn't have anything else to do, right? And for me, it's, you know, I've mentioned the process and I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect, but I'll accept whatever it is. So if I'm not going to question if I feel elated, if I feel, you know, free or happy, like I'm not going to interpret that as being disrespectful. I think that's another mistake that people make, is that if you're feeling good during a time like this, then your body needs you to. So do it. Like, you know, go with it. I'm riding the wave. I'm literally a surfer from now until, what, you know, May, June of 2021. I'm just surfing the ocean of my emotions, and will just, you know, ride whatever wave comes. And if I feel miserable, then I'll ride that wave and face it and get through it. All the while drinking my water and trying to do my walks, right? So anyway, so that's what's going on. I will let you know, next week during our conversation, I may have some news to tell you. And I don't plan it. Let me end with a funny pet peeve. Okay. Whenever I announce what happens, I'm not going to post a picture of my mother at 90 years old. And this is no disrespect, because there's no judgment whatsoever on the way people handle whatever happens. But I can just speak for myself, a message I would give to my son and a message I'm going to interpret with my mother, which is, don't show me when I'm dying. Like, don't show me when I'm 90 years old and not feeling good. Like, she's like, you show the people when they were alive and vibrant and, you know, doing shit and being themselves. And so I just, you know, I, there are people that handle things in their own way, but I do have to make the observation when I go on social media, like, I'm not one that immediately announces anything. So if anything happens, it would be after the fact, but, you know, and that's okay that some people, need to reach out to their Facebook family or to their Instagram family. There's no judgment there. The only thing that I suggest when you're in a knee-jerk reaction is that you think twice about the photos that you're posting. So I've seen plenty of hospital photos. I've seen plenty of photos when someone may be out of it, may not, and it's not about vanity necessarily. I just think it's, you know, just think about the person that you're representing. So I'm thinking about Millipede. And so, you know, I FaceTime her. So last week she was still lucid enough for me to be able to FaceTime, and that has slowly drifted. Because again, since her body's not taking nutrition, you know, she's comfortable and she's peaceful. But she's, you know, she just, the energy's leaving. But I was able to talk to her, and, you know, one of the things that got me last week too was I was able to tell her that Mr. Carter, and this is where it gets me, but I was able to tell Mr. Carter, or her, that Mr. Carter had made it to kindergarten. And for some reason, I was just so proud to be able to, you know, because she was a teacher. And it was, you know, and kindergarten's really kind of the start of school, right? I mean, nothing against pre-K. Pre-K has been phenomenal. He's had phenomenal teachers in his 2 years of pre-K. But I don't know. There was something about being able to tell her before she was unaware that her grandson was officially a kindergartner. And so I knew something would do it. And that's it. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's instantaneous. And, but that meant a lot to me to be able to say that. And it was an emotional week last week because, yeah, we had, you know, virtual pre-K celebration, and his teacher came and visited him at Katie's house because he was already over there and, you know, social distance, but came and put a sign in the yard. And so it was, and that was the day that, I guess the day before is when she was in hospice. But I've totally forgot my point. Oh, yeah, it was about the pictures. Yeah. So anyway, I guess I've been more sensitive to the pictures I've seen on Facebook and Instagram of people who, you know, if their mothers or their grandmothers or grandfathers or uncles or whoever it is, and the ones that post the final picture. This is the last picture we were able to take, or last time I talked to them. And I understand. But I thought to myself, would they have wanted you to post that picture? Because I still think my mother looks beautiful. And that was the point, is because I've been in contact with her. But she looks, you know, she doesn't look herself. Like, she doesn't look like the vibrant woman that everybody that I know knew, and my friends who grew up with or know, and the one that was on the radio when we would have her on the radio. And she looks like she's on her way out. And so she would kill me if I'd posted one of those pictures. I don't plan to. So anyway, just saying, you just think about it. Just think about it. And just know that when the time comes, and when you learn about it, if you learn about it on social media, it's Melissa Carter ATL on Facebook, Melissa Carter ATL on Instagram, that it's going to be young'un, okay? So just keep that in mind. But thank you. I appreciate your prayers. I usually don't ask for prayers, but in this situation, the way I've said it to my friends is I appreciate prayers to the welcoming party. Like, it's not prayers for her, because she's not, I mean, and I appreciate prayers for me, but I really want just, you know, energy to be sent where she's going, so that, you know, there's just a big party waiting on her when she gets there. Because I think that it's, this is all about the people who are left behind. She's not going anywhere bad, and she is about to feel so much better than she's felt in such a long time, right? And so there's nothing sad about her journey. It's my journey that is the sad part, right? And it's your journey if you're in the same situation. So just remember that too. Like, they're okay. She's okay. She's going to be great. I mean, this, by the end of this week, she may be in the best position she's ever been in, and having the time of her life. And I hope so. I'm not going to have the time of my life, but that's okay. My time will come too. And that's what I hope when I get older, or whenever that time comes, whether it's when I'm younger or older, I want to be able to say, hey, okay, again, it's my turn, but this time I'm the one taking the exit. And I hope to face it with as much dignity as I'm seeing her face it. So thank you very much. Still has not mastered the art of sound when it comes to doing shows, because I just turned the dishwasher on, and of course when I move in my house, my dog Gigi has to come with me, which is sweet. That's the beauty of dogs, but she's not settled down yet. That is something I have done on the shows that I do for a living. If you are new to the show and have been with me in Atlanta, currently I work for a marketing firm, and I help financial advisors do radio shows throughout the country. And so we tape these shows ahead of time, and I tape them from my home. Now, I have not done the dishwasher for that. I tell you, when I did the dishwasher the last time, it was right before one of Mr. Carter's Zoom school meetings. And I'm in an adjacent room to the kitchen to record this, where he was doing his Zoom thing, I think in the same room as the kitchen. Like the little table off the kitchen. And I'm just going about my business, trying to get stuff done, you know, trying to fill my time. You know, if I'm home, I'm kind of a busybody, you know, which is shocking, because as a teenager, I was the laziest thing in the world. But as an adult, and I guess because I have a son, you know, I'm doing things and trying to find things to finish in between things. And so running the dishwasher was one of the things I was doing before his class, just getting stuff done, checking things off the list. And throughout the Zoom meeting, there's that. So I don't know if you can hear it. There'll be one of those, you know, how dishwashers have that big, you know, click and stuff. You'll probably hear that in a second. So still have not perfected the art of doing live recordings or the Zoom meetings. However, the funny thing about the past week is it's not been my things that have been happening on Zoom. It's other people's. So during one of Mr. Carter's Zoom meetings, he's pre-K. He's five, and he's in pre-K because of his birthday. So he will enter kindergarten when he's about to turn six. So he's pre-K, and they have these dance parties, or they did, you know, because school is now out. And so one of the Fridays, he had dance party. Every Friday he had a dance party, but there's the dishwasher. Sexy sound for a Zoom meeting and for a podcast. So anyway, he had the dance party, and it was a Zoom, and so all his classmates and his teacher are there, and the teacher plays a song, and they do sweet little dances and stuff. One of the kids, I guess her family decides that they're going to do it with her. There's a lot of people that live in that house. And so they're, you know, since they're there, they're going to do the dance party with her. There's a younger sibling that decided to run across the camera, and the little brother was completely naked. And so I laughed out loud because I thought of the panic of the parents or parents of this child as it showed its everything. Full Monty as it was running across. And I think it got across the camera twice before they were able to capture said child. Then I was doing a FaceTime chat with a buddy of mine in LA who has a young child, and he's currently potty training, bless her heart. So she's in the middle of potty training in the middle of a pandemic. She's a single parent. She's like, well, since I'm here and since he's here and we're not going anywhere, we're going to do potty training. And he's starting to take to it a little bit, but potty training is a long process. And one of the things that you can do is just have the child naked so that it's always prepared and doesn't have to fiddle with a diaper because they're too young to understand about pulling their pants down necessarily. Her son had a shirt on, but he didn't have anything on underneath it. Most of the FaceTime chat, didn't see him. Most of the time because she and I try to do this on a weekly basis. Most of the time her son knows that we're talking. He has no interest in talking to me. He's doing his thing. He's playing, whatever. Middle of potty training now. He's naked from the waist down. And he did, you know, I guess a little bit of potty time and stuff while we were talking. And then he wanted to climb in mom's lap. And then he got fascinated by a light switch that was behind her, like a chain light switch behind her. And so he started climbing on her. And I mean, he full Monty and then full butt shot. And then he was just climbing on her face. And she's trying to keep him from being in her face. It's so funny. And I just thought, this is the beauty. This is the beauty of working from home. I love this time and being at home for these reasons, because sometimes it's me. Mr. Carter's not shown full Monty. He's old enough to where he does his thing in private. But one last funny story, like I said, I record these shows on a weekly basis. We pre-record them for clients across the country. And I believe I was in Ohio for this taping with this team of financial advisors, and we were talking about money and talking about making a plan and all those things. And Mr. Carter, usually when I'm on a show, will go upstairs to the bedroom and he will either play with the Xbox. I'll allow him to have the time to play Xbox or his iPad or him to watch television, and it's his choice. And so that day he wanted to play Xbox. So he's playing Xbox. And we were on the show, and he came downstairs, and he just let me know, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom down here, because he likes that he can hear me, but he still gets scared if he can't see me. And I guess going to the bathroom, the Xbox is in my bedroom, so he, I guess, thought that bathroom was too far from me. He came downstairs. Funny story, he didn't want to shut the door. He never wants to shut the door because he still wants to know where I am. The bathroom is right here near the microphone. As somebody put it, Mr. Carter decided to stream my show. And there's the dishwasher. It's the comedy of errors that are happening in your house, I think, is hilarious. And I like being at home. I mean, I could work from home. I could work at the office. I find benefits in both. At the office, I like being able to compartmentalize things. Easy for me to say. But I like to compartmentalize things, because I can leave, you know, any stress of any other part of my life away from the office, right? And then when I come home, I can leave the stress of office away from home. And it's not a very stressful job, but it's, you know, just you're on when you're working and you're on, you know, when you're parenting. And sometimes it's nice to be able just to relax and not worry about that. Or if something's going on in my life, it's always been this way. If something's going on in my personal life, work was always a nice respite, you know, a nice way to escape a little bit from what's going on in my personal life. So that's the benefit, I think, of working in an office, is that you can get away. Benefit of working from home, obviously, is the fact that you can fluidly do a lot of things. I don't mind the fluidity at times of doing work and then, again, doing the dishes or taking, you know, Mr. Carter for a walk or the dog for a walk, even though Gigi's not really much into walking these days because she's getting so old. She's, you know, she could care less. I like the fluidity of, if you want to take a break in the office, sometimes, at least I don't, take the opportunity to go outside and take a walk, where I have colleagues that will take the opportunity at their lunchtime or whatever in a break to go actually walk. At least at home, I'm getting a little more physical activity because I can get up and go outside. I can, you know, do stuff around the house. I have, you know, stairs. I can go upstairs and get something done and get a little bit of exercise. Those little 10, 15 minute breaks in between something for work, and then you're able to do something and then get something accomplished at home. I don't mind the multitask a little bit, the fluidity of it. So I don't mind. I can do both. But the beauty of being at home now is seeing all these things happen and trying to communicate with each other and still stay connected. But at the same time, things just fall apart. I have purchased some masks, and it's almost like a race to see which masks get to me first, because none of them have arrived. And I expected that, because we knew that there was a kind of a hoarding of masks, and people had to hand make masks. And fortunately, there was a friend of Katie's who made, homemade masks for all of us. And we on Instagram, Melissa Carter ATL, on Mother's Day, I kind of tongue-in-cheek showed a family portrait of the three of us, Mr. Carter, Katie, and I, with our masks on and sunglasses and hats, because I don't normally post pictures of either one of them. So they were comfortable enough to take this picture because we were pretty much camouflaged. But it was just, you know, family portrait 2020 is where we're all kind of gloves, mask. It's 6 feet apart. So again, Melissa Carter ATL. But I have one homemade mask. But my thought is, well, because I'm medically fragile because of my kidney transplant, I haven't really been anywhere, and I don't expect to go back to work till July. However, once July happens and I go out and I have to be somewhere with a lot of people, you know, until a vaccine is found, I really can't take a chance, so I need to have a mask. And I'm like, you know, I've got some leftover surgical masks that I got from the hospital years ago for a last surgery, because I've had several. Not only is it disposable and they're flimsy, but also they're not, you know, cool or stylish or unique. And so I bought some masks, and I bought three different mask orders. And like I said, it's almost a race, because now it's like, okay. Because I've been sporadically ordering these in March and April, and none of them have come. But I did get a notification that one was coming. But this is one of those things. I ordered the mask from companies that I don't have a login for, so I don't remember what company did which mask. So even though I got the notification that the mask is coming, I don't know which mask it is. So the masks I order, because that's one thing about me, and this was more of my style in high school, is that I got to be different. Somehow I can't just be status quo. So instead of like a floral and like this handmade mask that Katie's friend did, you know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's just, you know, colorful, but that's it, you know, just it, you know, I got to do something different. So the first mask I got is a black mask, and it's got the imagery of Space Invaders on it. Remember that video game? That was my favorite video game when I was a kid. I was introduced to Space Invaders before Pac-Man. So Space Invaders was the king. And I actually still have Space Invaders on a little, you know, Atari, you know, thing that you plug into the TV. Have you seen those where it has all the games on it? Doesn't have Pac-Man on it, I don't think. But it's got, and I keep talking about Pac-Man because that's what Mr. Carter's obsessed with. But Pac-Man dominates our house right now. Got Pac-Man coloring books, Pac-Man toys, Pac-Man games. But Space Invaders, so that's my mask of Space Invaders. That's the first mask, has not come yet. Second mask I ordered was a set of three, and they're UT, University of Tennessee masks. I'm excited about that. That's the, you know, all these are the Space Invaders manufactured by a company. I bought the Space Invaders mask. The idea was you buy one from them, they donate one to, you know, healthcare workers. So it's a company, a manufacturing company. The UT masks are more handmade. And, oh, is my dishwasher done? Oh, that's good. So the UT masks are handmade. And then the third one is a Golden Girls one. And it's Sophia. And the words underneath her face say, picture it, 2020. Get the mask, get it. And I think that's another company that manufactures mass produced. Space Invaders are ordered first. UT I ordered second. Golden Girls ordered third. Again, we're like a month and a half out from the beginning of these orders. Nothing has come yet. But again, I don't plan to go out in public at least until, you know, at the earliest July. I got some time. I'm just curious which one's going to come first. And I appreciate everybody that's been homemaking masks. And, you know, what's funny is that once they get from being behind and providing healthcare workers with these masks, then they're going to just be, we're going to have this overwhelming supply of masks. And, you know, that's probably good because people need to use them because a lot of people ain't use them. I mean, I'm hoping you use them when you go out. Because here, you know, the whole point is that you use them, other people use them, and then you have very little chance of passing the virus on if you're a carrier. It's the whole idea you don't have to be symptomatic to have it. And I think that the conversation in the very beginning of all this was, you don't need a mask, it's only going to make it worse. I was one of them who said that because I know that they didn't want me to have a mask as a recipient because you tend to put your fingers to your face to adjust your mask all the time. And if your fingers are dirty, then you can catch something. That was more for generic stuff for me after I had my transplant, is you're better off not wearing the mask because you can't put your hands to your face. I was told that 18 years ago when I got the transplant, and that's what we're having to do now. But they found that, no, we really need to wear masks. I do think that the messaging has been very confusing for people, and I think that's why you have, you know, fractions of people who want to do one thing and another wants to do another, depending on what political party they are a part of or who they support. Because, again, somehow we've politicized COVID-19. But I think you need to wear a mask because people like me, I got to wear a mask. I don't have a choice. I don't have the luxury of being able to go out and take a chance because I am medically fragile and I can't take that chance. I had a friend, and forgive me if I've told the story last week, but a friend of mine posted on Facebook that she was getting a delivery from a restaurant, or it was probably DoorDash or one of the others. I'm not endorsing, but that's the first one that comes to mind. But she was using one of those services. They were going to the restaurant to pick up her meal and then took a picture of the outside of the restaurant and said, I'm not sure if I feel comfortable coming in here, but I will if you want me to. And it was a crowd of people outside this restaurant. And more than likely, the restaurant, of course, is not wanting, if they're open, because I don't know what restaurant it was. I don't know their policy, if they were open and just letting a few people in or if they weren't letting people in at all. But the people outside, who were large in numbers, were not 6 feet apart, and none of them had a mask on. And so that's why he texted her and said, look, I'll traverse through this crowd if you want me to. Maybe he wasn't comfortable about her food, but he just basically said, I'm feeling a little sketchy about this. And so she said, you know what? Your health is not, worth the risk, so don't worry about it. And she was appalled by what she saw because it literally was a cluster of people who were very close together by the door. And they weren't all together. And they weren't wearing masks and social distancing. So that's the frustrating thing and why I definitely will need these masks when they come in is because people just won't follow the rules. They just won't follow the rules. I mean, I understand about going back to work. I understand the pressure of it. I mean, I can't do it until, like I said, July at the earliest, if then, because I have to be extra careful. But I know that there are people who are jonesing to get to work. I know there are people who don't think this is a big deal. I know it, and everybody's opinion should be respected. I do believe that. But at the same time, if there's rules out, you know, okay, go and do, let's compromise. Okay, we've opened up the state of Georgia earlier than I think should have been open, but we opened up the state of Georgia because of the pressure. And so, fortunately, the state of Georgia expanded testing. So that's another thing. If you live in the state of Georgia and you're not aware of the fact that the COVID-19 test is available for free, all you have to do is go to call your public health department, whatever county you're in, your county health department, and they will let you know where the testing is. They will assign you a time. You go, and it's done in your car. I've done it. Katie's done it. Mr. Carter's done it. And it's not that we thought we had it, because we have no symptoms. You don't have to have symptoms to get the test. But we wanted them to have the data. When I filled out the form to get my number, to get my assignment, to get my slot, you know, I let them know I'm medically fragile and what's going on with me. Katie's healthy. Mr. Carter's healthy. Just data. Where we live. How old we are. I just felt a civic responsibility to contribute to the data. And just in case some people need you to be proven that you don't have it, I mean, again, it's free. It's just the nasal test. They're going to stick a toothpick up both your nostrils, but you can do this. My son was able to do it. You can do it, because he usually was going to punch people who tried to. But it is done in your car, your county health department. Call them up. Find, you know, if you live in Fulton County Health Department, whatever county you live in, this is in the state of Georgia. And call them, and then you can find that information out. The antibody test is different. The antibody test is a test that's given to see if you've ever been exposed to it, okay? The antibody test, which I think is just as important, because you can see if you were ever exposed to it again. And if you test positive for the antibodies, that means you either had it or you were exposed to it. But the other good thing about this, it's not been proven yet. It is my suspicion that they will find that anybody who's been exposed to it that has the antibodies will likely, at least in this cycle, not be susceptible to it. Now, that's my opinion. That has not been proven, but they are certainly studying that. To me, it's worth getting the antibody test, too. However, that's a different process, and that will cost money. But most hospitals, and if I'm not mistaken, most drugstores, anywhere like you'd get a flu shot or places like that, call your doctor, call your drugstore, see if they have the antibody test. It's probably a blood test that you would have to go in person for that. And then you can find that out. But that's going to cost you money. The COVID-19 test to see if you have it right now is absolutely free from your public health department, from your county. So I can't reiterate enough. Yes, I've gone to two places since I've been hunkered down March 13th. The first place was the gas station, because I didn't fill up a tank of gas before I was taking Mr. Carter to and from Katie's house. Katie's house, of course, she's hunkered down, so we are both isolated, and for the sake of Mr. Carter being able to see both of us. So that's another place I've been. But then the third place I've been is in the car to the facility that they told me to go to in the drive-through line to get my COVID-19 test. I think it's very important. You know, to conclude, again, we'll see which masks come in first. And I promise I'll take a picture, Melissa Carter ATL on Facebook and Instagram when I do, because especially the Golden Girls one, but the Space Invaders one, Space Invaders, or the UT, I mean, which one's going to be the cutest? I don't know, but I had to have several. I can't just have a plain mask. I can't. But also, to really reiterate, whether you agree with this or not, just compromise. That's it. If everybody, here's the thing that frustrates me so much about where we are, and I've said this before on the show, I've said it to friends, it's like, I am sick and tired of this idea that we are not in this together. I'm sick and tired of this idea that even though we're fractured, we're supposed to come back together. You cannot resent somebody so much that you're never going to come back. I mean, I've heard several people from different minority groups, when I talk about like movies I've seen or TV shows I loved, or, so, you know, if we get in a conversation about entertainment And then I've heard from several people who are of a different color than me say, well, that wasn't made for me, or that wasn't really popular for me. And I understand that you're not the audience for everything, but at the same time, I think that's an excuse to not be part of a community and to not embrace other communities and not to learn and come together. So the same with me as a white woman. There is no excuse that I should not watch something that has to do with the black community, with the Asian community, with the Indian community. Doesn't matter. Entertainment is entertainment to me. And I've been growing up watching straight movies my whole life. Okay. So, I mean, that's the other thing. If you want to compare oppressions, I think that's such bullshit. But I've grown up with straight movies all my life. I've never, when I was growing up, never saw myself on the screen, never saw a big budget romance having to do with same-sex couples, especially women. Still don't see that. But you know what? I still love a good romance. I mean, if it's cute and they've got good chemistry, I could care less. I could care less, and I should care less. Because this is not about me getting what I want and screw the rest of you. And somehow we've gotten into that mentality. And we've been in that mentality. And every time there's an incident, we tend to go into our tribes and stand ready to fight. Like here in Georgia, when the poor young man who was killed out jogging, you know, they arrested the people who did it, and they arrested him because it became such a public stink because the video of the incident was released that somebody had taped. Well, first of all, somebody's taping this incident and not doing anything about it. Secondly, the police don't arrest people until people cry out. But then my glass half full perspective on it was, well, first of all, it wasn't just black people that were enraged by the video. So that's positive number one. White people, Asian people, everybody was enraged by that video from different races and different backgrounds and different genders. Like, so to me, it's like you've got to pay attention to what has evolved. You've got to pay attention to what's better. I posted on, she persisted on our Facebook page, the fact that genital mutilation has been outlawed in another country. And I was like, in a hashtag perspective, because it's like, we don't even worry ever about genital mutilation in the United States. I guess it happens. Maybe that's too overreaching. Maybe there are communities that do. But honestly, if you're listening to the show, have you ever worried about genital mutilation? Perspective. Things are evolving. The same with this. Everybody's perspective is important, but we also have to compromise and we have to listen to each other. So I have to listen to the people that don't think this is a big deal and support the idea of, okay, well, let's open businesses so that the people who don't think it's a big deal can go out and be in the community and do what they want to do. And then people like me who are like, I'm taking this very seriously, and I'm sitting my ass at home and wearing my mask and having my gloves, and when I go places, I should be respected as well. And the compromise is that we all wear masks, okay? You can go out, but just wear a mask. That's all you got to do. Wear a mask when you go out. What's the big deal? We got to stop the stubbornness. We've got to stop the stubbornness. I can't be stubborn. Just wear a mask. No big deal. Stay at home, go out, just wear a mask. Can't we just do that? If you see a Space Invaders mask, or you see a really cute University of Tennessee mask, or you see a Golden Girls mask, it just might be me. We have run out of time. Thank you again so much for your thoughts and your prayers about Millie Pete. And please take care of yourself. Be your own best friend. Heal yourself. And we will talk next time. Bye-bye.
Say, this is Mr. Carter.
This is Mr. Carter.
And you're listening to?
Listen to?
My mom.
My mom.
On She Persisted.
Just from 6 uh-oh.